Reaper Man by Terry Pratchett. Read by Nigel Planer. The Morris dance is common to all inhabited worlds in the multiverse. It is danced under blue skies to celebrate the quickening of the soil, and under bare stars because it's springtime and with any luck the carbon dioxide will unfreeze again. The imperative is felt by deep sea beings who have never seen the sun, and urban humans whose only connection with the cycles of nature is that their Volvo once ran over a sheep. It is danced innocently by raggedy-bearded young mathematicians to an inexpert accordion rendering of Mrs. Widgery's Lodger, and ruthlessly by such as the Ninja Morris Men of New Ankh, who can do strange and terrible things with a simple handkerchief and a bell. And it is never danced properly. Except on the Discworld, which is flat and supported on the backs of four elephants which travel through space on the shell of Great Artuin, the world turtle. And even there, only in one place have they got it right. It's a small village, high in the Ramtop Mountains, where the big and simple secret is handed down across the generations. There, the men dance on the first day of spring, backwards and forwards, bells tied under their knees, white shirts flapping. People come and watch. There's an ox roast afterwards, and it's generally considered a nice day out for all the family. But that isn't the secret. The secret is the other dance. And that won't happen for a while yet. There is a ticking, such as might be made by a clock. And indeed, in the sky, there is a clock. And the ticking of freshly minted seconds flows out from it. At least it looks like a clock. But it is, in fact, exactly the opposite of a clock. And the biggest hand goes around just once. There is a plane under a dim sky. It is covered with gentle rolling curves that might remind you of something else if you saw it from a long way away. And if you did see it from a long way away, you'd be very glad that you were, in fact, a long way away. Three grey figures floated just above it. Exactly what they were can't be described in normal language. Some people might call them cherubs, although there was nothing rosy-cheeked about them. They might be numbered among those who see to it that gravity operates and that time stays separate from space. Call them auditors. Auditors of reality. They were in conversation without speaking. They didn't need to speak, they just changed reality so that they had spoken. One said, "It has never happened before. Can it be done?" One said, "It will have to be done. There is a personality. Personalities come to an end. Only forces endure." It said this with a certain satisfaction. One said, "Besides, there have been irregularities. Where you get personality, you get irregularities, well-known fact." One said, "He has worked inefficiently." One said, "No, we can't get him there." One said, "That is the point. The word is him. Becoming a personality is inefficient. We don't want it to spread. Supposing gravity developed a personality. Supposing it decided to like people." One said, "Got a crush on them," sort of thing. One said, in a voice that would have been even chillier if it was not already at absolute zero, "No." One said, "Sorry, just my little joke." One said, "Besides, sometimes he wonders about his job. Such speculation is dangerous." One said, "No argument there." One said, "Then we are agreed." One, who seemed to have been thinking about something, said, "Just one moment. Did you not just use the singular pronoun my? Not developing a personality, are you?" One said guiltily, "Who, us?"